One morning in June, some 20 years ago, I was born a rich man's son. I had everything that money could buy, but freedom I had none. I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking so long.
Muy buenas tardes, queridos oyentes, bienvenidos otra semana más a Brave Potatoes en Radio Enlace. Collins, está bien que te traigas invitados al programa.
Again, the third consecutive week. Pero it's funny how these things come in threes.
Lo que no está bien es que acampen en el estudio de Radio Enlace y lleven tres semanas seguidas aquí con nosotros.
Yeah. They lived in here like I did last summer, cabreras.
Cuando no hay dinero suficiente para pagar el alquiler, te viniste aquí al programa,
no,
¿cierto?
Me vino muy bien.
Welcome once again, Catherine, Charlotte, Michelle.
Hola, thank you for having me.
Collins, la semana pasada estuvimos comentando acerca del eslogan del Metro de Madrid. Me pregunto qué piensan nuestros invitados cuando han visitado el Metro de Madrid. Did you have the chance to visit the subway here in Madrid?
Yes, I used the Metro a lot when I was living here before I went away for a few weeks, but with these guys we've actually walked a lot more, but we have used the Metro, yeah.
So what do you think about it? They say in TV that it's one of the best of the world, and I always thought that it is not true. What do you think about it?
It's a lot cleaner than London's.
Cleaner?
Is it cleaner than London?
Yeah, the London one's horrible.
It depends on the line though, really, doesn't it? Because some of them have the nice new ones, which are nice, yeah, air-conditioned, tell you what station's coming next.
Some of the stations, but certainly, there's a redeveloped line. Line 3 is all new, although the stations are not new, but they've been redesigned, renovated. But generally in the centre, they're a bit older. But then if you get out more to the suburbs, they're nice, fresh trains. What about the price? How much does it cost?
So reasonable. It's so cheap. It's so cheap compared to London.
Mm. Don't say that. The mayor can be listening to this program.
One journey in London, Charlotte told me yesterday, is £4.
£4.
And here it's €1, which is like seven, not even a pound.
One journey to where? To Scotland?
Any single journey.
Yeah. Any single journey.
£4.
You can go one stop.
¿Eso cuánto es? ¿Como 6 euros, Collins?
Sí, por ahí.
6 euros. Sí. El viaje de metro en Londres vale 6 euros. Ah, muy bien.
And here you can go unlimited for 40.
€40 for a Zone A season ticket or monthly pass, a bono. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Catherine, in the time you were living here, what's your general opinion about the city of Madrid? Not about the, well, what did you think when you arrived, or was the highlight, or I don't know.
My cousin was the highlight here.
Collins, es lo más bonito que te dice una mujer en años, ¿eh?
Sí.
I love Madrid. It's brilliant. Although when I first got here, it was having like the worst weather for the month.
Oh yeah.
Ever. And you were wearing flip flops.
Yeah, yeah. She was wearing that.
Gareth seemed to think it was something to do with me, because I came here for a weekend and it had been like summer the week before I got here. Then when I got here, there were hailstones and torrential rain. And then I went away again for 3 weeks and they had summer again. And then when I got back, you had the worst like 6 weeks of weather ever.
We will be very happy if you can come here like once a week. For example, Monday night is perfect time for raining.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Have the vegetation.
So, Catherine, first of all, I mean, Charlotte and Mitchell, you haven't spent much time in Madrid, have you? How long have you been? A few days or
weeks?
Yeah, a couple of weeks, but I haven't seen as much as I would have liked.
A couple of weeks already.
Yeah, a few weeks. This is my third week actually.
Third week. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So for you, what do you think is like the most, the worst thing in Madrid that you say that? Apart from Collins.
I haven't seen that. Oh, apart from Collins. There really is no other thing bad about Madrid.
No, come on.
You know what I think would be very controversial?
Go on.
The food.
You don't like the food?
Not a big fan of the food.
You're still being a vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Kath only eats patatas bravas, yeah, which is appropriate.
I only eat Brave potatoes.
You see.
That is pretty much all I eat.
Fair enough.
So you don't like very much the food in Spain?
No, sorry.
Don't be sorry. You don't like it.
But everything else I like. That's the only thing that I don't particularly like.
What would the main differences be between Madrid and a British city such as Cardiff or Bristol, where you've lived?
Good question.
The size, obviously. Madrid is an international capital city. So is Cardiff, but it's smaller.
I guess just the architecture, I guess. The buildings and the streets. The buildings are all, I don't know, they seem like, you walk down a street and the buildings seem taller and the roads seem a bit narrower somehow,
here.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's, that's an impression I get. I don't think the streets are narrower. I think it's an impression because
the buildings are taller.
The buildings are taller, so it gives you an impression of being more crammed in, perhaps. But
flats everywhere. In Britain, it's only sort of people in their, sort of successful people in their 20s and early 30s that live in flats, whereas I suppose here there's lots of families living in flats as well. That's one difference.
Well, traditionally, flats had a bad reputation in Britain, but now, increasingly, like you said, it's young, rich professionals who live in flats.
Llama la atención, comparando entonces con Gran Bretaña, que en Madrid hay muchos. Lo normal es que una persona viva en piso. O sea, si alguien vive en chalet en la ciudad, es, bueno, pues es una persona con más o menos con un poder adquisitivo medio alto. Y allí, por lo general, todo el mundo vive, si no en chalets, por lo menos en casas, digamos, ¿no? No de lujo, pero en una casa baja, digamos, con un pequeño jardín y quizás dos plantas. O
lo típico en alrededor del centro, en la zona, digamos, interior, ¿no? Como aquí podría ser pues, donde vivo yo, en Arganzuela o en Chamberí, las zonas más cercanas al centro, pues sería ahí, vivirían a lo mejor en, como en chalets adosados, uh-huh. O sea, terraced houses. Y luego más allá, para las afueras, casas apareadas, semi-detached, que sería a lo mejor...
Apareadas. Apareadas serían si estuviesen teniendo sexo entre ellas.
Uf, bueno, no sé, hay unas casas cachondas ahí.
Sí, probablemente. Sí.
Apareadas, semi-detached, que es lo típico de los, como lo llamamos, los suburbs, que no son suburbios.
Las afueras sería.
Simplemente a las afueras, sí. Sí, sí. And what do you what about the timetables or the eating times, going out, things like that? How would you compare that between
eating times are really hard for me to get used to because I like eating and I like to eat when I'm ready to eat and they eat too late here. Mm-hmm. But and timetables, I mean it is quite inconvenient, but I suppose if you've always lived here then you understand that things are going to be closed between 3 and 6, that sort of thing. But that's kind of the time that I usually want to go to the shop, and they're all closed. And it just seems a bit strange when they could have more business that they're closed.
On Sundays as well, they close on Sundays.
Yeah.
That's very inconvenient also.
But not just inconvenient, it just seems strange that they could be getting 3 more hours of business.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but then I think there's nobody around the street. I felt
apart
exactly the same way. Exactly. I felt the same way when I was here as a student about 8 years ago. I was very frustrated sometimes in the afternoons or on Sundays. I wanted to go shopping or go out, but then there was nobody about the street. So, I mean, clearly it's a chicken and egg situation. Is there nobody on the streets because the shops are closed, or are the shops closed because there's nobody on the street? It's probably just a general cultural reason for both of them, but now there are lots. Increasingly, I think it's a more 24-hour society. You've got lots of supermarkets are increasingly open throughout the day. You've got lots of small local shops run by Chinese people that are generally open the whole day, like from. They open till midnight or something, don't
20
they?
Hours, and 20 hours a day, maybe.
Or 18, no.
No, 18, maybe.
Probably literally 16 or 18, probably. Or 9, maybe 8 or 9 in the morning until 12 at night, probably.
Yeah, probably.
12, 1 o'clock. So that's, they're quite good.
They're making a very good business because they're always full. Yeah. They have customers anytime coming again and again because every other place is closed.
That's true, exactly. So.
Yeah. I suppose it's different in Madrid. Me and Charlotte were in Malaga a few weeks ago, and we're in the Locatoria, and it closes at 1, and it sort of reopens again at 5, which seems like the bulk of the business day in Britain.
With Locatorios, it depends, because the majority of the people there would be phoning South America.
But so then, from Malaga, though? Not from Malaga. Really?
Probably. Where any Locatorio, in Spain.
Yeah, okay.
And so then if they're 5 or 6 hours behind, the times they would close would be the times when there's least demand, I guess, anyway. They'd be open later in the evening and late at night when they phone and it's just the afternoon in their home countries, I suppose.
Michel, when did you come? When you came to Madrid, what did you expect from the city? What did you hear about Madrid, or you didn't hear anything?
I hadn't really heard much. I heard it had like a really good nightlife, and then like everyone stayed out up to like 6 in the morning or whatever. And I like that because in Canada everyone's in bed by 1 or 2 usually. Mm. So
that's a good point.
So what time do they close? Do they usually close in Canada?
I think they have to close at 2 o'clock by law, and then sometimes they close earlier.
And how do you have to be 21 or 18 to drink?
No, it's
in Canada?
Actually 19 in most of Canada, and
19.
Then over in the States.
So this is your lucky year.
Yeah, exactly.
And you came here.
Yeah. So, is it possible to drink when you're 18, or is it very, very difficult?
I guess it's always possible. Like, you can't go into places and drink, but you can. It's called boots. People, older people, buying alcohol for you. Lots of house parties. Lots of very illegal, very bad things that I strongly disapprove of.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
House parties.
Shocking. Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind. And I'm sure that's illegal, isn't it?
Yes, quite. And they always have the police coming down and shutting those down.
Yeah, really.
But
how do they find out? Are they parties?
Sometimes they're huge and resident, and people complain. Other times, there's like a conspiracy theory that the cops are on Facebook, so they check, because sometimes people put parties on Facebook.
Oh.
And other people think the police are on Facebook, and there's lots of drama about that.
Maybe it's the fact that there's the police come because you can hear the music from half a mile away.
You know,
there's a queue of cars up the street, and the local
drunk teenagers
shop runs out of liquor.
But it's probably the conspiracy, right?
It's probably the Facebook conspiracy.
They're watching us.
What's it like in the UK now, drink laws? I mean, I know it's 18.
Yeah.
But do you... did you have any... Well, I don't know. When you were 17, assuming you tried to buy alcohol, did you ever have trouble?
No, I was usually okay. Like, sometimes... I actually had my sister's ID because she's older than me, so I was okay.
That's so bad. But okay. Everyone is listening to this program now. No. They will know.
I'm corrupting the youth of Madrid, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
They're thinking of changing the law in Britain about buying alcohol in off licenses, that you'd need to be 21 to buy it in a shop, but then 18 to buy it in a bar.
Okay.
Which is quite a good idea, because they're trying to target kids that are drinking in the park rather than people that are drinking in a bar.
Ultimately, that's a fair point. People are going to get it, though. If they want it, they'll get it. Entonces, somehow, I think.
La ley es posible que cambie en Gran Bretaña y entonces la gente necesitará 21 años para comprar alcohol en tiendas, digamos, en tiendas de ultramarinos y demás, o licorerías, pero 18 para beber alcohol en los pubs.
Eso, para evitar el botellón.
Para evitar que la gente se emborrache sin salir de fiesta, simplemente beber alcohol.
No solamente, no tanto por eso, sino para que no hagan botellón, efectivamente, para... Porque tienen esa pinta un poco, a lo mejor, justo como aquí, vamos, un grupito de chavales en un parque, pues puede intimidar un poco, aunque no estén haciendo nada, a lo mejor sí, quizás no, pero los lugareños, los residentes de la zona, a ellos no les da mucha gracia ver a jóvenes bebiendo en el parque y tal, y es por esto, dicen. Podrán con 18, 19 ir a un pub, beber ahí, digamos, contenido dentro del sitio, ¿no?
Uh-huh.
Y así se radica, en principio, el problema un poco de los lugares públicos.
¿Qué tiempos aquellos cuando en Madrid se podía hacer el botellón? ¿Qué tiempos, eh? ¿Cuánto ha pasado?
Bajando por donde los garitos, dejándome caer por la cuesta abajo. He estado tan solito hasta que te he encontrado. Y tocando en el telefonillo, me dices que aún te queda para un rato. Tómate tu tiempo, aún no ha anochecido. Yo te espero en casa, Paco. Y qué gusto da estar en
Catherine, now you're working for teaching in a Spanish company.
I finished now, but I was sort of before the...
Don't say the name of the company, okay?
Okay, I won't.
So, what do you think about the difference in the offices in maybe in Madrid and back in the UK?
I don't think there's that much difference. I was in class, like taking the students into the classes, so I don't really see the offices that much. But I suppose that's one difference, that the offices, the companies are offering their students language classes, because that definitely doesn't happen in Britain.
It's a question of necessity, I suppose, isn't it? I don't know, I guess they offer them different types of courses. It's a shame in a way, because I think it helps to make people, to learn another language. I think it helps to, I don't know, broaden your mind. I guess as a business tool, it's not. Which language would you learn, I guess, anyway?
As an English speaker?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's no obvious choice in that sense. You could say now, you know, you could become a Chinese teacher, because I guess that's one that's going to be more and more coming to the fore.
Yeah, my parents are both Chinese teachers, and it's definitely a lot more in demand.
In schools or privately?
My dad teaches in a private school, and my mum teaches, you know, random students.
Yeah, like...
And that's an adult education centre, that kind
and
of
what,
thing.
What reasons do they give for wanting classes?
So there's some business people, some people just travellers and interested in the culture.
Mm, cool.
There's a couple of kids as well.
Yeah. Good idea, because I suppose to learn... as a Spanish person learning English or French, or an English speaker learning another European language, you've got the same alphabet, and even if they're very different languages, you've got some common inheritance, whereas English or Spanish and Chinese, I mean, it just must be different concepts entirely, I suppose.
I think it'd be a really hard language to learn, yeah.
I've heard it is, but it's interesting. I mean, something I'd be interested in one day, but I think you've got to be prepared for some quite slow progress. I mean, imagine if I had Italian classes now, probably relatively quickly, because it's similar to Spanish and so on. I could be quite relatively fluent in a short time, but then I compare that with Chinese or, I don't know, Russian, Arabic.
Well, like you say, because it's the same alphabet, even if you don't know the word, you can spell it out and look it up. But with other
guess at pronouncing.
Yeah, with a Chinese character, if you don't know, you're just a bit stuck.
Well, Milton, in Canada, what languages are taught in schools? Second language or foreign languages?
Well, French is the big one, because we're a bilingual country. So
of course,
all our signs and stuff are in French.
Not even theoretically a foreign language. But even in British Columbia, they've got signs in French.
Yep, there's like on all the products and stuff, like all the boxes of cereal, that's all.
Because then they're sold all over.
Yeah, because it's sold all over.
Are there people in Quebec who speak only French?
Yeah, there are some people, and there's like French-only universities, and there's actually quite a bit of a separatist movement.
But what I mean, not so much the separatism, but are there people who don't know how to speak English?
Yes, there are.
Natives.
Like, people have been around
for... who've lived there their whole lives, and they can't speak English.
Mm-hmm. And in the rest of Canada, you learn in English, but you have like French as a second language, right?
Yeah, you can take French classes if you want. You can also take, there's also Spanish, Japanese is another big one.
Yeah.
Spanish and Japanese are probably the two biggest, other than...
For example, in the British Columbia area, not many people speak French.
I don't know about not many, like a fair amount have it as a second language. I've got lots of friends who did French immersion, which is like total immersion, so they're fluent in French now.
Mm.
So I don't know, maybe 30%.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not.
I'm not quite sure, and that's very
and
far
I
away from Quebec.
And I suppose as well that you've got British Columbia. If you go west, then you end up in Japan. So, and I guess you've got the Pacific Rim.
And if you go south, true. You have Spanish.
South to Mexico, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I suppose there.
And if you go north, you speak nothing.
You can speak
you eat ice.
Yeah.
Do the natives there keep their own language in Canada?
Yep, there's lots of different native groups, and they each have their own language. It's dying out quite quickly, though, in some places, as they get kind of taken over, I guess. But yeah, I lived in a little native village for 3 years, and there's still some people who spoke the native tongue.
Quebec is still part of Canada, of course, but they have like an they are like an autonomous region or something like that?
It's still part of Canada. They've got their government's very independent, and at one point there was a famous vote for making themselves their own country, and it was 50 to 51%,
and so, they lost.
So no, yeah, so they're part of Canada still. So 51 wanted to stay part of Canada, 50 wanted
49.
49, 49,
sorry.
49,
yeah.
49-50. Something was wrong then.
Yeah.
It was fixed.
But, yeah, no, it's still part of Canada, but there's still, there's some tension, some drama.
Do you think in that in future they will be an independent country?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I guess that big vote was about 20 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. So it's gotten a bit more, I don't know.
Has sort of feeling grown towards being independent or away from it then, do you think?
I'd say probably being part of Canada.
Really?
Well, you get people moving in and joining, like lots of English speakers are going to Quebec as well, just for jobs and stuff.
Yeah. So if you were to Montreal is the biggest city, I guess, in Quebec.
Yeah, Montreal and Quebec City.
If you apply for a job, just a typical job, any kind of office job or anything in that area, is French a prerequisite? Do you have to speak French in order to
I've never applied, but I believe you have to speak French for the most part. You might be able to get away with having poor French if it's just like if you have a connection or it's some sort of.
I think in these areas that you have like the same culture, but some regions are quite apart. You need to join both them with a cultural bridge.
I think that is a very good idea.
That was a very good name.
In moon. Is in the seventh house, and Jupiter aligns with Mars. Then peace will guide the planets, and love will steer the stars. Is the dawning of the angels.
Colins, esta semana la canción no podría ser otra que, teniendo en cuenta que oíste este grupo en directo hace poco,
sí,
que tenemos invitados que han estado visitando Sudamérica, donde
sí,
este grupo triunfó. Y que la cantante te gusta bastante más que yo.
Joder.
No había otra opción.
Está buena, está más buena que tú.
Incluso.
Bueno.
Y tiene una voz muy sensual.
Tremenda.
Y tiene otras atribuciones aparte de que está buena, Collins. Por favor, evita esos comentarios. Collins, ¿nos traes la quinta estación en esta
the
ocasión?
Fifth season or the fifth station. And this is called The Sun Doesn't Come Out.
Nunca había pensado si realmente se refiere a estación de tren o de metro o a estación de otoño, invierno.
Bueno, una jugada de palabras en el castellano.
Collins, ¿te vas a atrever con ello entonces?
Come on, let's give it a go.
Venga, vamos con ello.
A few days ago I lost in some little bar half of my soul and the 15% tip. Alcohol is not the best medicine, but it helps you to forget when you can't see the way out. Today I'm trying to tell you that everything is okay, and even if you don't believe me, although this far in, one last effort might not be worth it. Today the good memories fall down the stairs, and after several tequilas, but the clouds clear, but the sun doesn't come out. Very true. Dreaming in a room in a motorway hotel, and some raindrops I keep in this suitcase. Surround the mattress of my already deserted bed. It's the best solution for a headache. Today I'm trying to tell you that everything's okay, even if you don't believe me. Although this far in, one last effort might not be worth it. Today the good memories fall down the stairs. And after several tequilas, the clouds clear, but the sun doesn't come out.
Collins, qué temazo que nos has traído aquí al programa. Ha sido, vamos, me ha gustado bastante, ¿eh?
Thank you very much.
La verdad que le has dado tu toque personal, tu toque femenino. Tu gran
it wasn't
lado
really,
femenino.
It wasn't in the falsetto this week.
No,
but Natalia Jiménez has a very strong voice.
No he dicho falsetto, he dicho femenino.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Feminine, not falsetto. True. That's true. I haven't sung in falsetto for our guests.
Yeah.
I usually sing in the falsetto for when I have a female.
He's really good at it. Very, very good.
What's the falsetto?
Like Mika or
James Blunt.
Oh, like I believe in a thing called love.
Don't mention James Blunt.
Yeah, listen to the rhythm of my heart.
His surname rhymes with Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
And that's what are falsetto. They called? I believe in a thing called love.
Darkness.
Yeah,
Justin Hawkins. Justin Hawkins, that's the one. They're good. I like the darkness.
I can't stand the darkness.
No? Oh, I love the darkness. Yeah. Really good. That's true. We should sing a song by the darkness, Cabrera.
No.
I wouldn't dare to do it, but you would be very, very good.
I'd be a man singing in falsetto.
You wouldn't be a real man.
Singing in falsetto.
Wow.
Catherine,
are you proud of your cousin now? Are you proud of Gareth?
As always, of course.
He's very good at singing. You didn't expect this.
No, I had no idea.
So how many of our family have or have had radio shows?
Three.
Excellent. That's good. A good proportion.
So two of them
are radio. We're a radio dynasty, Cabrera.
And my ex-boyfriend.
No way.
Yeah. Me, my cousin, my brother, and my ex-boyfriend.
Shit.
All the men in my life. And Milton says he's now going to get one so he can become the extra man in my life.
Come on. Fantastic.
So it's true that the first one of your family doing radio was Billy Bob Collins. That it stands for BBC.
Oh, very good. Very good, Cabrera. That's quite a good joke. When did you start? You were probably the first. You started a few years ago.
Well, I started working in radio in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go.
But not doing much, just helping out behind the scenes.
Cool.
But I got on radio, let me think, when would that have been? A year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Cool.
Was that before you? I'm not sure.
At the same time, okay. I guess.
So if you are back in Britain and somewhere as you, what's the difference between British radio and Spanish radio? You can say that here is hotter.
Oh, the studio is hotter.
Yeah, the radio.
This studio.
Radio station.
The station and the studio is smaller and hotter.
Absolutely.
And much better.
But much better, yeah.
And what does your dear brother and my dear cousin, Andrew, do on the radio?
He has some student radio show where he plays really random dance music. Well, it's sort of like it's a really quirky
show.
It'd be
guitar music.
It is. It's like indie. Rock. It's sort of like I can't think of the word. I'm not very good with genres of music.
Alternative.
But it's an alternative. But it's like a funky alternative show with like crazy random tracks now and then. Yeah. He almost had. Spanish people won't know this, but someone from Neighbours is a really popular TV show. Dr. Carl Kennedy was going to come on his show.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Really?
Dr. Carl Kennedy, a Greek.
The real the
actor.
No, wait, yeah.
What's his name? Carl.
No idea.
No. Fletcher. No. Yeah?
Yeah.
Agreed to come on his show, but for some reason it all fell through at
last
minute. But they're still Facebook friends. So his show is obviously
more
successful than ours. He gets all the big names.
That's
increíblemente
awesome.
Hemos descubierto aquí en Radio Enlace que Collins tiene aquí una larga tradición familiar en el mundo de la radio y estamos muy muy orgullosos de eso, Collins. Ellos no están tan orgullosos de ti, pero bueno, estamos orgullosos. Queridos oyentes, Break Potatoes, como siempre, llega a su fin. Dear guests,
hasta la vista.
Best luck in future and keep listening to Radio Enlace wherever you go.
Of course, thank you.
Will.
thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, guys.
De nada.
Adiós. Nos vemos la próxima semana a la misma hora. No os perdáis Break Potatoes en Radio Enlace.